This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sometimes cynical and negative world, 98PXY dares to feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY Mornings on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Time for the Vibe Check on PXY Mornings. What's up, guys? Happy Wednesday. It's Moose, it's Breezy, and we're just...
Get in.
On those delicious vibes.
Yummy.
585-252-9800. Look at our friends knocking at the door this morning. Who's here, Breezy?
Oh, our friends are just piling in both doors. Megan's here. She says, good morning. I've never felt better than I do today. I think it has something to do with the weather, but I'm just not sure.
That definitely might have something to do with it.
Vibes are high. My vibes are good. I have jury duty today, and I'm pumped.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I feel like you would write something like that. You're like, I would love to be a part of a murder mystery party.
Well, the last time I was summoned for jury duty here was on my 25th birthday. And I got after it the night before.
Oh, and that's not surprising at all.
I had to show up to the court. The defendant got sick, so they legally had to dismiss all of us for the next several years. And then I moved away.
And they were like, Sam, I've never been summoned. But if I were to, I'd just be like, well, I'm on the radio, and I'll probably say everything.
Yeah, we get a pass on that, being in the media, so we don't really have to do it.
So sorry. This person says, let's see, off to the gym. Enjoy everyone's day. We will. Good morning, Moose and Breezy. It's Amy from Sodas checking in. My vibes are great. I have an eye appointment today that I'm looking forward to getting my new glasses. Oh, and she was the one that said that I'm off to the gym. Enjoy. Thank you, Amy. You as well. Good morning, Breezy and Moose. I'm listening to you on my ride to school. I just hope you have a great Tuesday. Well, it's Wednesday, Anna, but thank you so much.
So close.
It happens, you know, it very much so happens. We don't always know what day it is. And then Lindsay, we'll wrap it up with Lindsay. She says, good morning, Moose and Breeze. I adopted a kitten last night from a lollipop farm, and I am obsessed.
It's beautiful. Way to give that little kitten a home. Nice job. You did your part.
You got to do it. What about you? Vibes?
Pretty good. Except for that $950 bill I got from U of R yesterday for blood work.
Yeah, my only New Year's resolution this year was switching insurances. So.
Yeah, it's like, there's no way. I don't know. I'm not going to go on a tangent right now, but that really pissed me off yesterday. Simple blood work that my doctor sent me to the lab to go get is a $950 bill. Make that make sense. How am I paying? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what insurance is for.
I was very active yesterday. I had a great workout at the gym for an hour. Then I went for a 2-mile run later in the afternoon. But this is what the weather does when it's nice out. You're motivated.
Yeah.
If it was crap, I wouldn't have left the house.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
That's why we all get plump in the wintertime.
Definitely fell asleep. Definitely woke up and I was like, oh, I feel guilty. But then I went on a 2.5-mile walk at night. It was great.
Yeah, see, it's nice. But the vibes are up. I'm really looking forward to 15th annual Bachelor Auction this weekend, Saturday night. Breezy and I are hosting. I'm getting fitted for my tux this afternoon. I have a lot of appointments today. I got to get through all that. How are you doing?
Good. You know, just trying to rest up for that big Bachelor. I have a huge weekend this weekend. I have parties and Bachelor auctions and work. And oh my God, it's a lot. But we'll get through it. We always do. Literally booked Friday through Sunday, 5 p.m.
Thank you guys for the good vibes this morning. We love hearing from you. Do you feel like we should give something away right now?
Sure.
All right, let me go down the list. Let's see, what do we have? Why don't we...
Let's give away RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Why don't we give away some RuPaul Drag Race?
RuPaul's Drag Race.
This is Work the World Awards on Saturday, August 23rd at Kodak Center. This is courtesy of Live Nation. If you guys want to go to this show, you can win them before you can buy them. Caller 8 right now, 585-252-9800. We're going to hook you up with those tickets. Big story of the day is coming up next on PXY.
Wait a minute. Something's missing.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. You guys remember that charming Hotel Cadillac at the corner of Elm and Chestnut Street? I'm sure if not, then some of your dads probably remember it because they were renting rooms by the hour in that dump. At one point, it was a beautiful luxury hotel, but that hasn't been that in many years. Some changes are coming. Our beautiful Governor Kathy Hochul's initiative to help turn buildings into low-income housing is taking place, and the Hotel Cadillac is one of those buildings. New York State invested $6.2 million into that former hotel, converting it into the Fine Arts Building Lofts. So the development is going to feature 42 mixed income units with 13 units offering, you know, support services for homeless young adults, which is great. I mean, it's right in the city there. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Season Noodles across the street. You heard of it, Breeze?
No.
Season Noodles right across the street.
Not really dabbling around on Clinton often.
So. No, yes. Well, I am. The owner of that said the restored building will enhance a lot of safety. It's very bad, and many people need to walk on the street because the empty building makes people feel not so safe, if you will. But a lot
are
of the residents...
people living in it, like transients?
No, but there's a lot of people that walk past it who tend to... the alarm bells go off a little bit. It's a little sketchy looking from the outside. But a lot of the residents say they're very happy to see things changing and them turning this, you know, dilapidated building into something that's going to be extremely useful. Governor Hochul announced that the development will include free broadband internet services for residents. Additionally, more than $10 million will be allocated to the Fenway Avenue apartments in Rochester, which will include a new public library. And then another $2.6 million will support the redevelopment of Creekside Clearing apartments in Lakeville and Livingston County. I mean, there's just money being tossed all over.
Yeah.
For residential use. But.
I mean, we'll see.
This city is exploding in money.
Right.
Exploding.
Right.
But that's what happens when you give people tickets. Thank you, DOT.
We finally have the money we needed to revamp the old Cadillac Hotel. Thank you guys so much for just speeding on 490.
Yeah, you guys made this happen.
We told you it was going towards the road work, but we're revamping the hotel. We made so much extra money.
We should all get a comped room for the night for our choice. I hope they have suites at the Hotel Cadillac.
I thought they were turning into apartments, no?
Yeah, but they should save at least the top floor for, you know, people like us that want to come in there and party. I love my parents, guys. I really do. And even though I'm a 41-year-old man, I sometimes watch TV with them. And what came on television made me want to crawl under a rock. Only because they were in the room with me. And I know I can't be the only one who has felt this way. I'll tell you what happened. Plus, we'll get to your stories coming up next on PXY Mornings.
98PXY is free and always will.
I know some of you have been in very uncomfortable situations with your parents. And if you're like me, you wanted to crawl under a rock. It's PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. Breezy and I were asking if anyone has ever been in a real uncomfortable situation with their parents. If so, what was it? 585-252-9800. For me, watching the movie Boogie Nights with them was the worst idea of my entire life.
What's that?
It's a movie from the 90s starring like Mark Wahlberg, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Hometown Boy. The last time I saw the movie was back in the 90s when it came out. I probably shouldn't have been watching it at the time because I was young. Mm-hmm. But, you know, recently, yeah, I don't know when it was. It was on Netflix. And obviously, like I said, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who we love, is in it. So, yeah, I put it on. Terrible idea.
Rip.
I don't remember what it was about, but Mark Wahlberg is a porn star and is banging everyone in the movie.
Oh, that sounds comforting.
And then I have to pretend that both of my parents aren't sitting next to me. I couldn't do it. I had to excuse myself.
Not you picking the best film on Netflix to watch with your family.
I couldn't do it. I'm like, you know, everyone's in the room. Everyone's quiet. But has anyone ever been in a room with their parents watching a movie and a sex scene came on? Did you want to jump out the window?
Yeah.
Because I can't figure out which was worse. Watching Boogie Nights with my parents or playing Cards Against Humanity with them last Christmas?
First of all.
Never again.
Horrible game. Not funny. I feel like all the cards are the same and very absurd and very inappropriate. And
well, that's the point. You got to use your imagination.
Very low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. But the
thing is, the people that constantly win every single year is my parents. It's so odd.
Because they have no idea how to play the game. They're like, I guess we'll just put this card down.
I'm like, Dad, this is disgusting. I can't believe. He's like, I'm dealing the cards.
I'm playing the cards that I was dealt, to be honest.
That's it. That's his line.
Which, I mean, can't blame the guy.
So
he wins.
Your brother, huge movie buff.
Huge.
You, your parents, your brother, you guys constantly watch films together.
Yeah.
Tell me about a time where a sex scene came on and everyone got quiet.
So, I mean, going to see The Wolf of Wall Street as a family wasn't the most comforting.
What a great example.
Yeah. And it was like packed theater. That was when people actually went to the movies and like you had to.
Pre-COVID.
Get your tickets ahead of time.
Yeah.
Get there a half an hour early type of thing. But I'll never forget when I was younger, my mom was out of town and my uncle and my dad were like watching all of the kids because my aunt was out of town too. And they decided to put on the Titanic.
Sure.
And they made us all leave the room during the car part.
Yeah, the sex scene.
And I was pissed. You know, I was like, what?
I want to see.
Yeah. They're like, come on, guys, head on out. They're rewinding it over and over. I'm like, okay.
You want to know what else is very uncomfortable? Clogging the toilet at your girlfriend's parents' house and not being able to find a plunger.
Oh, yeah.
I've had some tough times.
Had to use that toilet cleaner brush.
I've had some tough times in high school. I think I crawled out of the window of the bathroom that night.
We've all seen that one meme that's like, did you put your turd in my kitty litter box? No, not at all. Well, my cat's been dead for 2 weeks.
Oh, God. The voicemail of the sister. Can you come pick me up?
It's my favorite.
I got to find that audio.
It's so good. I truly just have been in this situation. Or when I was younger, the movie, I think it was called like Old School. Do you remember when you used to have a DVD and the DVD would have like a menu? Like a main menu,
sure.
And you could do like scenes, subtitles,
yeah.
Extras, things like that. In the movie Old School, Will Ferrell, the scene that keeps playing over and over again on the main menu is him running down the street butt-ass naked.
Streaking, yeah.
And I'm like, as a child, my parents are into porn. No, my parents love X-rated films.
I mean, that's you got to watch Boogie Nights when you're not with your family. Let's get to some of your texts. Trevor's here. What's up, Trevor? In high school, my mom looked through my phone, read through all my chats with me sitting beside her. Needless to say, it was quite brutal. I was a disgusting teenager.
I've been there, too.
I can only imagine, Trevor.
I've been there, too.
You had given them a reason to go look through your phone.
Yeah, I don't know why. Or maybe it was just like, something was wrong. Something was very wrong.
Was it raunchy text between you and other people? Because I can imagine that would be pretty embarrassing.
Very uncomfortable.
Hi, Moose and Breezy.
I was like, stop. Put it down.
Dying laughing right now because I can relate. My younger sister and I thought it was a good idea to watch Euphoria with our parents. It was the most uncomfortable 1 hour of my life. Yeah, that's a pretty scandalous TV show.
It's so uncomfortable. And like there's people, I don't know. I feel like 90% of people that are in this situation just like pretend like it's not happening. Like parents and the kids or young adults or whatever the case may be. We're just going to pretend like this isn't happening when it truly very much so is happening and nobody says anything about it. Did your parents say anything to you? Did you say anything or did you just let it ride through?
For some odd reason, every single time a sex scene comes on TV, my father automatically lowers the volume.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Like it's going to make a difference. We're all in the room. Nobody else is home. But out of habit, he lowers the volume. I get it if you fast forward through the scene, but that's not what he does. He just gets startled. Lowers the volume
on
the TV.
Or he's just so trained. You know what I mean? That
also could be it. Carissa says, try walking into the room at the age of 13, your parents having sex, and then all three of us staring at each other for a few seconds.
I don't want to try that. No, I don't.
And then I'll leave it with this one. No name, but we have a listener here that says, good morning, guys. My mom started dating after my dad passed a few years back. She wasn't using protection. So I had a very awkward conversation with her about using condoms to protect against STDs. Not something you would expect to lecture your parents about. Right.
No. She was like teaching her how to do it. She's like, let's do this group project together. Gets the banana out of the drawer. Yeah. She's like, I have all different options for you to choose from. Just come into my room. She's like, you're 10, so... That's crazy.
Oh, we really took it there, huh? That's what really went there.
98 PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. How many of you listening have ever heard of a dad or parent saying no when you ask them for their daughter's hand in marriage?
Yeah, that's a tough scene.
585-252-9800. If you have a great story, you can text or call us. And I always thought this was just a common courtesy out of respect. You ask the father or the mom or, you know, someone they're extremely close to if the parents are no longer around. But you can, you know, you ask if you can have this person's hand in marriage. Buddy of mine has a close friend, asked his girlfriend's father if he can have her hand in marriage. He said no, for no other reason than he just didn't like the guy. That was all the info I can get on it. And trust me, I tried digging for more info, but it wasn't, it was just a simple, he said no. I'm like, okay. But I will say this.
So he hates you, essentially.
If I had plans to propose to a girlfriend and I ask her father for her hand in marriage, which I will do, and her father says no, I'm going to do it anyways. I'm still going to marry her. You think I'm going to walk back with my head down and say, babe, dad said no, can't do it.
And what's the point asking?
It's just, it's old school, it's more tradition, but it's out of respect.
But if you're going to disrespect him anyways, like, what does it matter?
Well, they don't get the final say. And you think the daughter is going to be okay with that? Like, oh, he said no? Oh, okay, I guess it's
well,
off.
I think there's some things that probably need to be addressed of why are they saying no? Like, I'm going to put myself willingly in a situation where I'm going to go into a marriage with somebody whose parents clearly don't like me and clearly don't want me around. We should probably have a conversation about that before I just send it and buy a ring and be like, so what is the deal? Can we get past this? I don't want to feel uncomfortable at Christmas and Thanksgiving for the rest of my life. Because
no,
I actively went against you when I asked you for this one thing and then you said no. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do it anyways.
Well, if there's for no other reason than they simply just don't like you, then that's their problem. That's how I feel about it. If you've been in a situation like this, we'd love to hear from you because there's plenty of reasons, I'm sure, why a father has said no to their offering their daughter's hand in marriage.
Yeah.
A simple no, though, without backing it up, yeah, it's tough. That would be tough.
Yeah. I mean, I already talked about this, but the show and about the bailing out loud.
Yeah.
She has Tourette's and whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
She has her show on TLC. She just got engaged. And the boyfriend, now then fiance, now husband, did everything right. Went to the parents both. I want to marry your daughter. And he basically was like, it's her choice. He's like, so do you approve? He's like, it's her choice.
The father said that.
And then the guy was like, well, I really want you involved. He's like, it's your thing. Like, I'm not being involved. Like, just super rude about it.
Yeah,
super standoffish.
Sure.
And so that's not a no, but it's definitely not a yes. It's like, yeah, it's her choice, I guess. Whatever she wants to do.
I know. I remember my father telling me the story. He asked my grandpa for my mom's hand in marriage. And I think my grandpa's response was, well, you're a gentleman and you're a scholar. I accept. Okay, doesn't right. get any better than that. Hello, PXY, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Carrie.
What up, Car?
Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
What's the tea?
So I find this so interesting what you're talking about today. It was my husband that actually gave his approval for my daughter's for my daughter to marry her boyfriend.
Yep.
Asked for her hand in marriage, and I said, absolutely not, no way. But my husband actually consented. So there's a couple of reasons why I didn't feel like he would be the one for her. For one, he doesn't have the capability of providing for my daughter.
So you're basically, your husband gave consent to this. So your daughter's boyfriend asked him, he said yes, and then you said no.
I said, absolutely not.
Why is that?
Well, he doesn't seem to have the capability to provide for my daughter. He makes less than $70,000 a year. And I can say that, you know, he's 33 years old. And at that age, my husband was making double. So,
Care Bear, it was a very different time, but all right.
I mean, that's still not bad. And considering he's only 33, do you feel like he hit his ceiling? I mean, don't you feel like maybe there's still room for him to grow?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Right.
And so the fact that he makes less than $70,000 a year is why you automatically said no to giving your consent and offering your daughter's hand in marriage to him.
Well, that's only one of the reasons. You know, he, in addition, he doesn't seem all that family oriented, if you ask me. So, look, it's not his fault. I don't blame him for it. Mm-hmm. But he does come from a divorced family, which I don't like that.
No,
so, okay. Well, you can't really choose that either. So it sounds like you're being extremely unreasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's his fault. However, if you have a parent that struggles, say, like with alcoholism,
okay,
for instance, the chances are you're going to struggle with alcohol as well. So I'm just going by that. And those type of things really, really makes me feel uneasy. So I feel like as a parent, I want to make sure that my daughter is marrying the right person for her. And it's a proven fact that we're part of our environment. So
yes, I would imagine we're a product of our environment. But at the same time, you still have the ability to change.
You're also like not giving this person a chance.
How long, Carrie, have your daughter and this guy been dating?
Well, they've been dating for over a year now. And like I said, he's a nice guy. He's pretty cool. But he just doesn't fit in at all. Okay. Our family is loud and can be, you know, kind of obnoxious, you know, so to speak.
Sounds fun.
But he doesn't, you know, he's nice.
Well, let me ask you, what if this kid was making $250K a year? How would you feel then?
Well, you know, money talks.
Right. Yeah. Care Bear, listen, queen. I don't think that a lot of people are going to be on your side. Like, I understand not wanting your kid to struggle, but at the same time, like, they're an adult. They're going to make their own decisions. You can't control or micromanage every path they choose in life, especially at an older age. So,
hey, listen, Carrie,
not
as long,
sure.
If he's treating your daughter good and she's happy, then I honestly, that's all that should matter to you and your husband. Your husband said yes. So it's just because you said no. Are you trying to tell me that your daughter's going to respect your wishes and not marry this guy?
Well, she better. I shot it down pretty quickly, and she know I was very straightforward about how I felt about this, so she had better.
Listen, if your daughter does, if she does turn it down and she does listen to you, it's going to give me and probably everybody listening the ick that she's a 20, 30-year-old woman listening to everything her mommy says. It's weird, and it's inappropriate. Let's
totally
just shoot
weird.
It straight.
Well, for one thing, she knows that I give her good advice on all levels, and I'm pretty sure she's going to take my advice. That's just that. You'll understand when you have kids.
No, the ultimate crazy. Crutch. The ultimate crutch.
All right. Well, listen, Carrie, thanks for calling in and weighing in on this topic this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Let us know if your daughter goes through with it. We'd love to get an invite to the wedding.
I certainly will.
Okay. Okay. Bye, Carrie. What a sweetie.
Yeah. Jerry. I got some texts here that we need to get to immediately.
Oh, yeah, you go ahead first.
This person says, they're so mean to him for no reason. I would cut them off and not want to be a part of their family. This person says, Carrie, it's not up to you, sis. This person says, does he love her? Does he support her in things that she wants to do? If that's the case, then I'm not sure what the issue is here. And then this person says, I'm a teacher and make way less than 70K per year. What am I supposed to do? Just not marry anyone?
I'm telling you, that's what this is about. He makes less than 70K a year at 33 years of age. And she claims her husband, when she got married to him, makes double. Which brings me to my next text. This woman thinks because she said no that her daughter is just not going to marry her boyfriend. Sounds like she married her husband for money, and now she's expecting her daughter to do the same. Jerry says, I find asking the dad to marry her daughter super old school. I married my wife without asking for permission, but I think that's also because my wife doesn't have the closest relationship with her dad, so I never felt the need to ask. Hey, good morning, Moose and Breezy. I think it was honorable of this kid to ask, but I hope he knows it's more of asking for their blessing, not really their permission. Marry her anyways.
Right.
Carrie.
Oh, Carrie. Well, I stand true. This person says, I have kids and this girl's giving me the ick. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think that there comes a point where the cord needs to be cut. And I know that there's some people out there who are 20, 30 years old and are still scared of their parents and what they'll think.
No, of course.
But
yeah,
at the same time, you got to live your life, Queen. You got to do it.
They seek that approval. I have friends in their 40s still doing it. But that's
what
just,
will my mom say? You're 50, so I'm not sure. Nor do I care.
But I'll tell you what right now. If he does marry into this family and he loses his job, okay, all hell is going to break loose. We're going to take a quick break. PXY Mornings, we'll be right back.
Rochester's number one hit music morning show wants to hear from you. Call or text Moose and Breezy at 585-252-9800. The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
Well, I truly can't imagine having a rival school and then all of a sudden waking up one day and then being like, so our schools are merging.
Oh,
no more rivalry.
No. Oh, no.
Big changes could be coming for two school districts in Wayne County and are now considering a major, major merger. So the school boards of Marion and Williamson school districts voted unanimously Tuesday to approve a feasible study to potentially reorganize those school districts. This comes at you know, the hands of potential budget shortfalls, cuts, payroll, healthcare, things of that nature. Obviously, we know us continue to rise rapidly. And it's hard to manage. It's hard to keep up with. According to Tuesday's presentation, the merger could cut costs, generate additional funding, and help reduce tax levies for voters in both districts. So that's where the win would come in for that. The proposal, you know, has a lot of people with a lot of mixed reviews. Marion struggles as it is, says Marion Town Supervisor Summer Johnson. We have a very dedicated yet small community, and I believe that the merger at this level of size would affect the school district at large. It would put the final nail in the coffin for Marion and the entire community. Merging the two schools, it's a possibility. There's something that needs to be done before that, says an attendee of a grandparent who has a grandchild at Williams Central School District. Another attendee of the meeting says, cut the fat. You can't tell me that this won't help save us all money. I mean, I went to Canandaigua. Our rival was Victor. I mean, those are both very, very, very large school districts. So this, I don't think this would ever happen, but I can't imagine merging the two because we were such rivals and like there was such a community based upon the two schools that it would be hard. I understand Marion's very small. It's a much, much smaller school district than Williamson, but I don't know. It leaves a lot of community members and students being like, wait.
It's debauchery.
What?
It's like asking the Bloods and the Crips to become one. You can't do it. You just can't do it. It's like asking all 17 Greece schools to merge.
And then it's
Arcadia,
like,
Athena,
what
Olympia.
What happened with the school? Like, I don't know. It's just...
I don't like it, you guys. I get it, but I don't like it. Coming up on the show, we're giving you a chance to go see The Killers live in concert at CMAC on August 2nd. And we need caller 8 right now at 585-252-9800 to play Finish the Lyrics. We're going to play you a song by The Killers and then stop the music. If you can finish the lyrics correctly, Breezy and I are hooking you up with these tickets. Just how big of a fan are you? We're about to find out. Good luck. It's next on PXY. PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy. We are giving you a chance to go see The Killers live in concert at CMAC August 2nd. And we need caller 8 right now at 585-252-9800. Why, Breeze?
Because we're giving away tickets to go see The Killers live at CMAC August 2nd, which is going to be so much fun.
For Finish the Lyrics, Breezy and I are going to play a song by The Killers. We're going to stop the music. If you can finish the lyrics correctly, you're going to the show.
It's as easy as that. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. So if you're really a fan and you really want to see them, you should have no problem finishing these lyrics whatsoever.
That's so right. Hi, good morning, PXY. Who's this?
Hi, this is Nora.
Nora, where are we calling from this morning?
I'm calling from Hornell.
Oh, big Hornell energy. You are caller number 8.
Woo! Nora, are you our friend Nora who's a welder as well?
Yep.
Oh, Nora the welder. We love that. All right. Are you a big Killers fan, Nora?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, The Killers, CMAC, August 2nd. I'm going to play you two songs. The first one coming up, see if you can finish the lyrics correctly. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Somebody told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a
potential.
That's one on the board. Nice job. Let's go to song number 2. If you get this, Nora, you got yourself the tickets. Let's do it.
We're young.
You got it! Nice job, Nora.
All right, I have a bonus question for you.
Okay.
Can you name the Killers song that is very popular within the Buffalo Bills, Bills Mafia fan base?
Brightside?
Woo!
Oh. Is that it? I didn't even know that. It is
what?
Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside?
You know what?
Yes, of course.
We did sing that at the game.
Oh, yeah.
During
the
playoffs.
It's the song, the official song of the Buffalo Bills, Bills Mafia.
Nora, who are you bringing to the show with you?
I think I'm going to bring my mom.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
Is she a big Killers fan, too?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Listen to it my whole childhood.
Oh, my God. Right. Wow. That's intense.
Tell your mom to throw on her G-string and... throw some Jenny lights back because you guys are going to have the time of your life August 2nd at CMAC. Hey, Nora, what's the only station in the city hooking you up with tickets to go see The Killers?
98PXY.
98PXY traffic. Just when you think you've got life figured out. You're a parent now. Moose and Breezy hear your dilemmas.
Completely anonymous.
And 100% supportive for another episode of PXY Mornings. Parental Confidential.
Never once has this segment been anonymous. Elaine writes in for Parental Confidential, and the title reads, I constantly have to remind my husband to take care of our son. Oh, the neglect, you guys.
Oh, we don't love that.
It should be interesting. Hey, Mike, did you feed our two-year-old? He ate on Monday.
Elaine, it's Thursday, so.
Here's the full message that Elaine sent us this week. I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom with my son. His dad is home on the weekends. And when my husband is here on the weekends, I feel like I constantly have to remind him to do things for our son, like brush his teeth, get him in the bath, make him food, change his diaper. And I ask him to do these things because if I didn't, I would just end up doing it and I would never, ever get a break at all. And when I ask him to do these things, he takes it as being bossy and then proceeds to say things like, what have you done all day? I work 10 hours a day.
Yeah, that's not great.
This is going to trigger a lot of moms. And then he starts to make me feel guilty because I understand weekends are his only time off work to actually relax. He does work really hard. He's a great provider for us. Am I being unreasonable? Excuse me. Am I being unreasonable to ask him to do these things when he's here? I don't expect him to do everything, of course. I love taking care of my son, but it'd be nice to catch a break without having to make sure he's not on top of things. Not to mention, we have had conversations about having more kids, and of course,
oh dear,
I'm hesitant.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Sorry, Queen. I think that's like one of the biggest things in relationships is like when you don't share the same roles or have the same jobs or careers or whatever the case may be, it's so easy for your partner to point the finger and be like, well, I'm actually working. What are you doing? Like, I've gotten,
nobody wants to have that fight.
Don't even have kids yet, but gotten into it with my significant other where they're like, well, I'm working. And it's like, just because I work different hours than you doesn't mean I don't work. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, because it turns into a competition. Elaine says, anyone been in this situation or have any advice on how to deal with this? Thank you guys so much. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening, especially moms who have felt this way.
Right.
You know, and especially if their husband and dad is majority of the time away from work, you're doing everything.
Right.
585-252-9800. How does Elaine get her husband to stop neglecting their son? I laugh because it's like it's silly, but it's a conversation obviously that needs to be had with them.
Right.
We got a text that came in from a Pete. Good morning, guys. First time texting in and just wanted to say this woman's husband is being a crappy father. This is the same guy you're having another kid with. Why won't you address all this before having conversations about more kids?
Right.
I think that's a conversation she might actually have, Peter.
She's going to have to.
If you're struggling right now with
miserable.
One. Yeah, of course. Michelle says, no. No, you are not being unreasonable. He sounds like he needs a new perspective about the contribution you make to your home when he's not around. We got one guy named Dave that just texted in. You're lucky enough that you have a husband that allows you to stay at home and not work.
Okay, Dave. Not your husband texting in. Love it. Not him texting in. Not an alias. Classic.
The burner phone.
Classic.
Yes, of course.
All right, there's a lot of texts I got to get to. Run, Elaine. Absolutely run. Demand better for yourself. My ex refuses to spend time with our child as babysitting. Right. Daddy daycare, my biggest trigger.
I don't want to babysit today. Is that what you call it?
It's time for daddy daycare. Nope, you're just watching your child. You're just watching the child that you helped create. So, perfect. This person says, I have a full-time job, but I work from home. My husband goes to work and doesn't have the flexibility that I have. He feels like the house should be cleaned and dinner should be ready when he gets home from work because I've been home all day. Let's not forget that I'm also making money just as much as him. It's so funny that I'm supposed to be doing my full-time job while providing for our family and getting everything done around the house. He doesn't take the basket of clothes to work with him and fold it while he's there, does he? No. So why should I have to?
What's a man got to do to get a hot meal around here?
Oh my God. Go to Burger King? I'm not sure.
Where you can get it your way. Robin says, good morning, guys. Being a parent is in no way comparable to having a job. It is a full-time, 24-hour-a-day lifestyle, and I'm sick of these men who think it's just another annoying chore in addition to their overblown opinion of their job. I have been a stay-at-home mom, and I've also worked. And the stay-at-home tasks are far more exhausting than a job. With a job, you at least get some respect and appreciation, plus a paycheck. It's more exhausting, I thought. Laying asphalt in the middle of July on a 100-degree day was tough.
I'm working around here.
I'm no parent expert, but if you have to remind your partner to not neglect your child, then therapy should probably be on the table. Well, listen, I mean, you know who you married. It's going to be tough.
I mean, you know who you're marrying until you're in new situations. Like, I mean, you didn't always have a kid together. You don't know how people are going to react in certain situations. Jenna from Chilies here. Coming from experience, run, queen. That man doesn't respect you. Prioritize you and your son. Stop justifying his BS. Your husband needs to be present and watching a child is a full-time job. I think it's hilarious, that girl who was like, do you bring the laundry to work with you and fold it? I don't think so. Yeah, you know, it's hard because we've all been there. And like I said, we all work different hours and we all work different careers and jobs and things of that nature. But one isn't trumping the other.
And then let me get to one more here. At least this woman has a husband. My daughter's father left 6 years ago and never came home.
We're not comparing apples to oranges here, but thank you so much.
I know. Did he leave a note? PXY, who's this?
It's Dr. Davey.
Wavy Davey. Oh, now you're a doctor.
Still not a doctor. Changes his profession every time he calls in.
What's up, Wavy Davey? Go ahead.
So, tough conversation. Yeah, being a stay-at-home mom, I guess it is tough.
He's like, I know from experience, it's super hard.
Well, it's tough till the age of what, you know, 6 or 7, because then the kids go to school,
right?
And you're still a stay-at-home mom, so it does relax an incredible amount of that point as far as having the responsibility of watching the child. You don't have a full-time job for 5 years and then retire, right? So I hear this argument a lot between parents. And being a stay-at-home mom, when the day is over, you're still at home.
Right.
So she's right. You know, her husband does need to pitch in. He does need to help. But again, it's also a choice that we make, right? You could have made a choice, or we can make a choice to go to work and then come home to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see both points. You can see both ends of it. But if your husband's a police officer, I don't think your job at home is tougher than his. There's stresses at each level. I wish I could stay home and raise kids. I'm not saying it's easy. I just think it might be easier, but you can definitely see the parent who stays home, that perspective.
Well, you have kids, so, right?
Yes.
How do you do it with your wife in dealing with the kids? What's that situation like? Does she work full time like you?
We both work full time.
Got it.
Okay. We both work full time, and the kids are now of school age. They've been of school age now for 4 years, 5 years.
But also,
preschool starts at 5.
I need to interject for 1 second because you say we all make choices and things of that nature. If you and your spouse have a conversation, you're like, "Hey, it honestly would be cheaper for us. We would actually save money if you stayed home because mm-hmm. of childcare and things of that nature," and you have that conversation and that's the choices
100%.
That you make, you are not allowed to sit here and hold that over my head because we talked about it and we made the decision executively together to be like, this is actually going to save us money in the long run. So don't come back and throw it in my face because this is what we talked about.
Right. And I don't think anybody's throwing it in anybody's face. It was a mutual agreement.
Let me ask you something. As far as our girl, Elaine, that wrote this message for Parental and the situation that she's in, what advice, because I know you've had many conversations with other parents who've had this exact conversation, what advice would you give her to talk to her husband about? What would that conversation look like?
You know, I think you've got to come down to the realization of the situation, and he needs to realize that, okay, even though she's home all day and I'm at work and I'm grinding,
yep.
She might get 15, 20 minutes, half an hour there. That might be what he's thinking, is she can relax,
yeah.
The kids playing on the floor, she can read a book. You know, I don't think that being at home is 8 hours a day head on 100%. But the thing is, he also needs to understand that when he comes home, she has been under pressure, and he needs to help her relieve that pressure,
sure.
By taking those kids, by, hey, let's go, you know, the weather's breaking, let's go outside, let's go for a walk,
yeah.
On a Saturday morning, it's daddy kid day, and we're going to leave the house and let mommy be mommy. Mommy's going to do what she wants to do. I'm going to make breakfast in the morning. Mommy's going to sleep in on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so there's got to be some mutual give and take. Like I said, you know, I, when I'm home from work, we have women in our neighborhood who don't work, and they watch the kids. And I wish I could take my kids for a walk in the middle of the afternoon. Or I wish I could throw my kids in the pool in the middle of the afternoon, throw them in the car and go yeah. to the park and grab an ice cream.
I think,
you know, that's the happy side of it. But
yeah, the discussion is,
it is a stressor.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling, Davey. Thank you for weighing in this morning. I think having a discussion about dividing tasks, even on like weekends, so both of you guys can relax and spend quality time with your son, you know, because both of you are under yeah. stress.
I honestly think this starts before you even have kids.
Yeah, like, that's what, if you decide to get married and be a parent, maybe I'm wrong, but I think you would have a pretty good clue of what might be involved with that. You're both parents. You're both helping raise this kid.
I'm just saying, with like roles in the household, like, I mean, I cook, my girlfriend cleans, like we do our own laundry. There has to be that divide of, so one person isn't just doing everything
yeah.
and the other person's sitting on their ass. So you know you're set up in the future for when you do cross that bridge of kids and other obstacles of duties to be split.
Yeah.
That you're not going to just be doing it and left holding the bag all by yourself.
Thank you guys for weighing in on this Parental Confidential this morning. And Elaine, thank you for your message. Clearly, it's time to have a really hard sit-down conversation with your husband.
Right.
But we're rooting for you. We're going to take a quick break. It's Peaks My Mornings. We'll be right back.
Here's an idea. Be a part of the show. Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station.
98 KXY. Taxes.
Just meet me at the Hotel Cadillac at the corner of Elm and Chestnut Street. Some of you may remember this dilapidated building. It used to be quite charming back in the day, but it's been a long time since that was the case. Some changes are coming. Our beautiful Governor Kathy Hochul's initiative to help turn buildings into low-income housing is taking effect, and the Hotel Cadillac is one of those buildings. New York State is investing $6.2 million into the former hotel. They're going to convert it into the Fine Arts Building Lofts. And this development is going to feature 42 mixed-income units, with 13 units offering support services for a lot of the homeless young adults here in Rochester, New York. But to one of the owners across the street, Season Noodles, don't know if you guys have ever been there, said the restored building will enhance safety because it's bad that so many people need to walk on the street because the empty building makes people feel like it's not safe. They get sketched out. I'm not going to lie. I've walked past it 100 times. A little sketchy. Governor Kathy Hochul announced that the development will include free broadband internet services for residents. And additionally, more than $10 million will be allocated to the Fernwood Avenue apartments right here in Rochester, which will include a new public library. And then $2.6 million is going to redevelop the Creekside Clearing apartments in Lakeville. That's in Livingston County. I mean, there's money being tossed all over the place to just improve the residential buildings right here in Rochester, New York. But obviously, our city is just loaded. We got money coming out our asses, don't we not? But you can thank DOT for that. All those tickets they charged us for speeding, what do you think they're doing with that money?
Putting it right back into
Hotel Cadillac. That's right, baby. It used to be a really beautiful building back in the day. I think you were able to rent rooms by the hour in that place.
Yikes.
I don't know. Ask your dad.
Not great.
Coming up on the show, We're asking the question, if your partner couldn't afford the ring of your dreams, would you have an issue buying it yourself?
That's the question of the hour. And there is a story that has been revealed that has a lot of people buzzing with our girl, Kim Kardashian. I'll explain exactly what happened and what you would do in this situation coming up next.
If your partner couldn't afford the ring of your dreams, would you have an issue buying it yourself? It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. I think it's a great question.
Yeah. And the question is coming to the forefront this morning because the news is breaking as we speak about the hard, cold truth about Kim Kardashian and her engagement rings. I mean, the woman's been married, I think, two or three times now.
Who are they? Kanye? Who else?
Kanye, Chris Humphries. Yep. That only lasted 72 days. And I don't know if she was ever engaged to Ray J, but regardless.
Celebs take marriage very seriously.
Yes. And obviously, if you have a surplus of money, you can sport a ring that is as big as someone's car, right? So the story came out that after a 72-day marriage to Chris Humphries, she had an 18-carat ring that she said he made her give up. When the two split, they had less than an amicable divorce. And Kim's emerald cut diamond engagement ring was caught in the legal crossfires. Okay. She said, I didn't keep it. Talking about the ring. I was pregnant with North and still married to him. She explained. In order to divorce him, he said, I had to give up the ring in the divorce.
Oh,
now,
right.
This would have been fine and well, but I bought the ring and he only contributed a fifth.
I want to know how much
18 carat ring.
How much did an 18 carat ring cost? That's stupid money.
Yeah. That's insane. I mean, millions.
Millions. But why would you want a target on your back like that? Who wants to walk around with a boulder on their finger? Who?
I mean,
I know there's some women saying, oh, I'll take it.
I mean, she's a celebrity. She can, you know, afford whatever it is. But I think it begs the question, right? Because obviously Kim Kardashian is a gajillion, bedillionaire, right? But I think for normal people, regular, everyday people who, you know, have maybe dreamed of their wedding or their ring or whatever the case may be, they've always thought of, I'm going to have this on my finger. And whenever I look down at my finger, I want to see this. And I want to know that the ring that I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl is going to be there. And you end up with a guy who, for whatever reason, cannot financially foot that bill of your 5-6 carat ring, which is still a huge ring. Would you be like, all right, Johnny, I got it. I will buy my own ring or at least pay half.
Kaylee says, if we get married, we're most likely merging finances anyway. So I don't have a problem with splitting the cost or paying for some of the ring. I don't think traditionally that's something a guy should let a woman do. If you're going to propose and get engaged, I mean, what do they say a ring costs today? A certain percentage of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So you should buy the ring and propose. Now, if she's asking for something that's absolutely ridiculous that you can't afford, it's like, well, you know, you get what you get. And if you really desperately want something bigger than what I already gave you, then yeah, you're going to have to, not even contribute. You just might not be the one for me. I told you, we've shared this story about me having this conversation with an ex.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't making much money at the time, but she had to have a ring. And if I were to propose, it had to be at least $27,000 or more with a certain carat, with a certain clarity. She wrote it all down. And that's where the argument started. I said, this isn't important to me. Not to mention, I was making like $19 an hour.
Right.
At the time.
The debt collectors were calling left and right.
I'm not going to do it.
It was simply too much.
I'm simply too much. My hands are tied.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it. And if I'm being honest, it left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that there are some people who are just extremely materialistic, and that's fine, right? Like, that's that it is what it is. And there's, you don't have to share all the same interests as your partner when it comes to things that you're into, right? But at the same time, I think it all comes down to, I don't know, compromise and meeting someone where they're at or meeting someone in the middle. But for you to sit there, Chris Humphreys, and be like, I need that ring when you literally contributed way less than half.
Yeah, that's, I don't get. That to me doesn't make any
sense.
That
was what he kind of kept her on the hook for, was that ring. And also, like, what are you doing with that ring? Obviously selling it.
The question we're asking in 585-252-9800 is, if your partner couldn't afford the ring of your dreams, would you have an issue buying it yourself? I got a text from this person. By the way, Costco has some really nice jewelry. Don't feel bad. But this woman just texted in and was like, where is the text? Don't get a ring from a mall jewelry store. You get better quality at other places. But if he gets a ring from the mall at a jewelry store, it's a red flag. Why?
Why? Why is that? No, genuinely.
Can't go to Dubai jewelry store. All those rings were taken.
It also just like begs the question of where people are at in life, right? Like, for example, if I were to get engaged and a jewel, I mean, we have tons of jewelers that advertise on this station, and they come to me and they're like, hey, we want to do an endorsement with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, great. I mean, I would be stupid to be like, no, I can't. That's my girlfriend's duty to buy that for me. It's like, it comes down to being financially responsible at the end of the day.
If you can't buy it, you shouldn't afford it. My buddy bought his fiance.
I mean, if you can't afford it.
If you can't afford it, you shouldn't buy it. Because I got a friend, he spent $30,000 on an engagement ring. Realistically, he might have only been able to afford $7,500. But of course, he went right into debt right off the bat because that's what she wanted. And I'm like, oh God, $30,000 on the ring?
Yeah. And then she loses it.
I don't care what any woman says. I love him no matter what. If you buy a woman a tiny little engagement ring, she's going to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
She will. She will be embarrassed to put it on social media. She'll be embarrassed to show it off to her friends. I love him no matter what. I'm sure you do, but you're embarrassed. Woman wants a nice ring.
You can sit there and be like, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It's like, well, when you need a microscope to look at your symbol of love and gratitude, I think it should probably start mattering.
If the crumbs on the kitchen table are bigger than the rock on your finger, you're going to have a problem with it.
Pebble. We bought my ring together for $600 at JCPenney's. Oh. We made nothing at the time.
Good for you.
And this was what was realistic. 17 years later, I still love my ring and its story. All right. You do you, boo.
JCPenney's was around.
Okay with it.
But she bought it from JCPenney's in the 1940s?
No, not 1940s. I think, you know what? If it makes you happy, it makes you happy. But I will say this, and we'll go back to what we were just talking about with the kid. And, you know, one of us has to work around here. If you buy yourself your ring and then you get in a fight and you throw it in their face, like, well, of course you wouldn't do that, Johnny, because I had to buy my own ring. Like, yeah, that's not.
It's just you're asking for problems later on, you know, if you hold it over their head.
This person, me and my husband split the cost of our engagement ring and wedding bands as well. Wow. Interesting.
In the wedding bands, Dee Dee says my fiance and I split the cost of my ring because he made more than me, but was paying off a mountain of law school debt. So I didn't like the idea of him prioritizing a ring over those payments. Good on you. That's what it's about, helping each other out.
Right.
Helping each other win.
Just neighbors and helping neighbors.
Before we take a break and give away these tickets to the 15th annual Bachelor Auction, you got to tell me, because the person you're with right now, Breezy, could most likely be your person for life.
Right.
Do you each buy each other an engagement ring, or does only one person get one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How much you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how much money?
Mine's obviously going to be more expensive.
I knew it. How much would you be willing? I mean, does it have to be more than $2,000?
Does it have to be?
Yeah.
Like for me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what's the...
But I also don't care about lab or natural.
Right, you don't care about the lab-grown diamonds or anything like that.
No, and that's obviously cuts the cost in half.
Lab diamonds are way cheaper.
Yeah.
So as far as buying her a ring, she's a lot less materialistic than you are.
Yeah, I mean, she might just want one of those silicone things that the CrossFitters wear.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, and which would be great for me.
All right, speaking of love... This Saturday night is officially the 15th annual Bachelor Auction. And if you're looking to maybe get a ring on that ring finger, you could meet the person of your dream Saturday. 25 of Rochester's most eligible bachelors will be taking the stage. All the money goes to charity at CSC, formerly known as Gilda's Club, and Breezy and I will be hosting. 585-252-9800. Caller 8 right now to win that pair of tickets for Saturday to the 15th annual Bachelor Auction. Good luck.
Hey, it's me, Julia, your at-work bestie on 98PXY. Each weekday, just after 2:30, I share my life hack of the day. I promise it'll make your life a little easier. The Julia Show on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. I regret moving in with my lazy, unemployed boyfriend. No one cares that your kid made the honor roll.
I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show.
There. I said it.
Now, doesn't that feel better?
BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There, I Said It on the number one hit music station. 98BXY.
This is the segment where we give you guys a chance to clear
the air, baby.
585-252-9800 is the number to call and send us all your unpopular opinions. Let's go over to our friend Abby here this morning. Excuse me, guys. Good morning. My boyfriend broke up with me the other day because I cut my hair short. And yes, this is not a joke. The dating pool in Rochester is so gross. There, I said it.
Dear.
We're so sorry, Abby. Do you want to come to the Bachelor auction Saturday night?
Feel like there could have been a couple more things leading up to that, but...
You think so? It just wasn't the cutting of the hair?
It's like, I cut my hair and he was like, I'm done with you. Or you've been fighting for the last 2 years straight, but who's to say?
That might have been the final straw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else is here? This person says, dogs should not be allowed in big cities. There, I said it. Can you imagine how unhappy they are?
Dogs being in big cities?
You have to go outside and take them for a walk. Where are they peeing and pooping? On the sidewalk? They belong in rural areas. There, I said it.
It's got to be tough having a pet when you live 30 floors up in an apartment building.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming buildings like
that. And to think that you were going to do it, not great.
I'm on the second floor. It's not that much of a big deal.
But you don't have grass.
Well, across the street, is it a...
Not you taking your dog out at midnight.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's a safety issue at that point.
Yeah, that would be tough. Oh, look, more people breaking into cars. All right, hurry up and potty. Kristen says, handing a tip to a server is beyond rude. Leave it on the table. There, I said it. Is that true? Is that rude?
Why is that rude? Me giving you money, so rude. Couldn't be more rude.
You better leave that on the table. So I've never worked in the restaurant business. I need to know. You've been doing it for a while as like a server for events. So when you get a tip, right? Let's say somebody leaves you a $100 tip. They're giving it to you because you did a great job. You can't keep that full $100?
Yeah, I can. Why wouldn't I?
Don't you have to split it up between the cook, the other,
I mean,
hostess?
Like, you have to tip out a percentage of, like, your overall earnings, but, like...
Oh, so all the tips you've gotten throughout the
night. I can't remember what it was. 2%? I don't do it anymore, but I think it was, like, 2%. So, I mean, the most I made in, like, one night was, like, $800.
So basically, they're just expecting
800
you
times
to be honest.
So I have to tip out like $160.
But they don't know how much money you have in tips.
No, you do, because it's all in your report. It's all on the report.
But if you're giving, if you're getting cash, how could they know? It's all under the table.
You have to claim it. Like, that's how taxes work. So you have to claim it. So.
I don't like this.
I know.
Kristen says.
That's why I'm not doing it anymore. It's too much. Too much admin.
Hi, Moose and Breezy. Liz from Brockport. Can you guys please share on the radio that vaping is not safer than smoking? Because my 16-year-old son seems to believe that this is a much healthier option. Thanks, guys.
It's not rocket science.
Well, all right. Liz's son. No.
Stop it.
That's bad.
Knock it off.
And she is right. I mean, this is not a healthier alternative to smoking.
Go watch, what was that Netflix thing?
The Fall of Jewel.
Right. Go watch it. You'll see.
Come on,
all
buddy.
All those popcorn lungs, you don't love that. No. You don't want anything to do with that.
Do you really want to be strapped into a hospital bed at 16, missing your right lung? Come on.
And your homecoming.
I mean, come on. Hey. Come on. All right. There you go, Liz.
No. Thank you for that huge controversial take. Can you say that smoking's bad? Nobody knows that.
No, because I understand as a mom, all these kids think that vaping is healthier than cigarettes, and it's not. It's still terrible for you. Don't worry.
Mom,
it's
Pop-Tart flavored.
The creme brulee.
It's creme brulee. It's strawberry shortcake flavored. Okay, but your lungs are shutting down from the inside out. No, it's not. It's water vapor. There's no nicotine. It's not even smoke.
Well, that's the argument.
They're charging it on their iPhone 6. Like, we don't. It's just too much.
That's the argument that these kids were having. Is that it's just, it's, you know, it's water. It's vapor. It's not
right.
It's not it.
Mine for today is this. I'm absolutely shaking piss. I just wish this city had a decent deep dish joint. There, I said it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Breeze.
I'm not going to name any names here, but there's one in the city that is absolute trash. One time I got a pizza from there. There was four different style pepperonis. I'm like, why is there flat ones and then cup of char and then.
I'll take pepperoni all day. As long as there's not a fingernail sticking out of my deep dish. That's all I care
really
about.
Really can't be too sure. I just wish this pizza had this town had a little bit more integrity when it came to pizza. Peels on Wheels just left.
Oh, don't get me started with Peels on Wheels. I just discovered them.
Yesterday.
I just discovered them. Like, grand opening, grand closing. Mine for today is I have come to the realization, you guys, that therapy just doesn't always fix everything. There, I said it.
Well, you actually have to go for that to work. So.
No.
Yes.
Well, no. I think sometimes personal accountability and actions matter just as much. Let me say it again for people who didn't hear. Personal accountability and actions matter just as much. Sometimes that's even more important than going to therapy and sharing your feelings.
Who's there to hold you accountable?
You got to look in the mirror when you do it.
Right. But if you don't think you're doing anything wrong, who's there to tell you what's wrong and right?
Listen, any therapist that I've ever been to.
You got in a fight with and left.
No, they haven't said anything. They just sat there and listened. I'm like, so what do you think I should do? I think you should write everything down. Why? I
just journal. Meditate. What am I paying you $75 an hour for? Yeah, and that's the cheapest I could find on BetterHelp.
That's what I'm saying. I was paying $80 a session on BetterHelp.
I am not. Mark my words. Mark my words. I am not getting a new therapist, because my therapist just quit on me again, did I tell you that?
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's like, just tell me you don't like me. You know what I mean? Just say it. Just shoot it to me straight. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. Last session is tomorrow? I don't know. I can't remember. Anyways, mark my words. I'm not getting a new therapist until I get new insurance. There, I said it. I'm not doing it. I'm not paying $100 a session for my insurance to not kick in. I'm just confused.
Do what I did. Secretly, just date a therapist.
Been there, done that, needed more therapy because of it.
When I was struggling, I dated a therapist. I dated somebody who cuts my hair. I dated somebody who was a dentist. It's like, just try to get free services.
I dated a therapist once. Most screwed up relationship I've ever been in, truly.
It's like, I should have
dated. Like, you give people advice and they pay you? Talk about lighting your money on fire.
Well, tell me about it. Flush it down the toilet. Diana says, good morning, Moose and Breezy. Stop putting your kids in public schools. If you want your kid to have a future, start homeschooling them. There, I said it. I don't like that take whatsoever.
The narcissism is real. Nobody can teach my kid better than me. What are your credentials? What do you have that you can teach them? Well, you know, the comfort of our living room. Right, of course. Of course.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, it is. So. It sure is. We're going to take a quick break. Also, do we have tickets to give away? I think we do.
To what?
Right. Oh, guys, we have tickets. We got a pair of tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan December 12th at the Blue Cross Arena. He's coming to town. We need caller 8 right now at 585-252-9800. Good luck.
Got something to...
Hello, PXY. Who's this?
This is Christine.
Christine, I have great news for you.
Okay.
It's going to be 70 degrees and sunny today.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
Also,
you got tickets to go see Jim.
So cool.
You're caller number 8. Nice job.
Not Jimmy Gaff. That's
incredible.
The old Jimmy Gaff. What do you like about him?
He's hilarious. I love him. He's great.
He's everything and more.
You ever see that bit he did on Subway with the cheese?
I haven't.
Oh, so you're not really a fan.
Like, I missed that one. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I love that. All right, cool. Where are you calling from this morning, Christine?
I am in Bradford at work.
You are? What are you wearing?
Khakis.
Sexy.
It's like a Southwest flight attendant. All right, we're going to hook you up with tickets to go see your boy, Jim Gaffigan, at the Blue Cross Arena on December 12th. More chances to win these tickets coming up tomorrow morning on PXY. Hey, Christine, have the best time, okay?
Thank you. Love you guys.
We love you, too.
Love you.
98PXY's Moose and Breezy invite you to grab your popcorn. Get comfortable in your seat. Because Breezy's about to break down a classic she somehow missed over the last quarter century. It's Breezy's Big Movie Review.
Action! Yesterday on the show, Breezy and I acted out probably one of the best movies ever made in 2017.
Right.
A little film called Patty Cakes, starring Danielle McDonald and just a bunch of other people. Before we get to Breezy's big movie review, where she will score this a negative 12. Take a listen to us acting out a scene from the movie yesterday on Mooster Peace Theater. There's nothing wrong with a little sexual tension. It's good for the group in this rap game, you know what I'm saying? This press will eat it up. Just don't forget about me, okay?
You'll always be my number one, son. You feel me? You understand?
Yeah, I feel you.
Do you? Oh, God. Oh, God. This is just too much. Give me my tampons. This is just too much.
Oh, there she goes. Running out of the pharmacy. Cut.
Yeah, not the tampons.
If you guys haven't seen this movie, let me break it down for you. Fed up with her life in New Jersey, in her hometown, Patricia Dombrowski, a.k.a. Patty Cakes.
Patrice.
Hopes to follow in the footsteps of her idol and hit the road to achieve stardom as a rapper. And with help from her best friend, a mysterious musician, and her loving grandmother, Patty leads the charge against an army of haters, unpaid bills, and the broken dreams that are holding her back. Rotten Tomatoes scored this 86%.
It's so nice to see that Honey Boo Boo got work after Toddlers and Tiaras.
I was thinking the same thing. She kind of looks like Honey Boo Boo as an adult.
No, she fully does.
Patricia McDonald's been in, you got me saying Patricia. Danielle McDonald has been in a number of roles, and she's great. But I think this was kind of like one of her big breakout roles was Patty Cakes.
Yeah, Breezy, sad I missed it.
Did this movie hold up, yes or no?
Honestly, yes, because it's giving Bad Baby. Catch me outside, how about that? This is literally just her movie.
She wasn't that trashy. This character was not as trashy as that girl.
Bad Baby went on to make multiple records. She's a millionaire.
I don't know how she managed to do that.
She has a lot of really great songs out there.
Do we play any?
Gucci flip-flops on my knee. No, I don't think they ever passed.
Cargo shorts and flip-flops. 5K watch and tank tops.
Yeah. And so, then this was a cross between a biopic of Bad Baby and 8 Mile.
It did seem a little bit like 8 Mile. It was a long movie, was it not?
And I'm glad that, like I said, Honey Boo Boo found work after Toddlers and Tiaras.
All right, so jumping into Patty Cakes, break down your favorite character of the film.
You know, there wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot. But I did like her friend, the pharmacist.
Jer.
What was his name? Jer Bear?
Jeromeo.
Jerry.
I think the grandma was my absolute favorite.
The Gerinator. Barb.
If you guys want like a feel-good underdog movie that you're rooting for this girl, it's kind of, think of Rudy. Instead of football, replace it with rapping. That's what this movie is.
Rudy with rapping. Yes. I just can't really get over the fact that Alana, Honey Boo Boo, grew up to look exactly like this girl. Like, if you see a picture of her, right, and act the same. She's got a little streets in her.
There's some trash there for sure. Right. Did you have a least favorite character in the film?
You know, I mean, Patty didn't do it for me. I'll tell you that much. She wasn't my favorite. I think I resonated with all the other characters but her.
Oh, that's interesting. What was your favorite scene in Patty Cakes?
I mean, our scene was good. I liked the scene when she comes in the pharmacy and he's like, over the loudspeaker, like, you'd get fired instantly, but okay.
Yeah.
And then the scene where they did the parking lot battle, rap battle situation.
Yeah. I mean, that, again, similar to 8 Mile. People are just outside their job. They're battling in the street. She walks up, and all of
a sudden. This was very much just 8 Mile independent film style.
Yeah, but 8 Mile didn't involve, Eminem's grandmother in it like this one did.
This budget wasn't high. Let's just put it that way.
Neither was Napoleon Dynamite, and look what happened with that film.
They just made their money back. Their budget was $1.4 million, and they made $1.5 million.
We got a Chad that weighed in that said, this is an awesome movie. I also recommend it. Thank you, Chad. Breezy, let's get to your least favorite scene in the film. What did you hate the most? Because it's a hour and 40-minute film?
I really thought that Patty and J-Man were going to fall in love.
Not the case. But don't give away too much. We don't need any spoilers for all the listeners that want to see Patty Cakes.
Everyone's running to find it. So that was definitely my least favorite scene because it didn't happen. I like the scene when, she absolutely crushes the rap battle competition. She crushes it.
PB&J. Best throwback moment of the film?
The whole thing was, although it was set in 2017,
mm-hmm.
It was very throwbacky because it doesn't seem like she had a lot of money.
No, a lot of her friends, including her, had flip phones. She drove around like an 82 Cadillac sedan.
Yeah, that's really something. You know, one thing I will take away from this film, I respect the hustle. I do.
Amen.
And
she, here's why she reminded me of you a lot, is because.
Well, that's not the direction that I thought this was going in.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, that her part-time job, the way she was hustling, is she was a server going to all of these events. So they would hire her to go to these parties, and she would, that's exactly what you were doing. You were hustling, doing that exact same job. You know what I mean?
You trying gotta to respect the grind.
You were also trying to become a rapper. Let's get into
huge rapper.
The score. Out of 5 popcorn bucket scores, Breezy, what are you giving Patty Cakes?
Patty Cake money sign, I'm giving it like a 3.7.
Boom. That's not.
That's above average. That is generous.
Really? I would thought you were going to do at least a 4.7.
Yeah. I'll move it up to a 4 just because I love the fact that Honey Boo Boo got her star after the Toddlers and Tiaras.
I'm going to be honest with you. Honey Boo Boo is not in this film, okay? She's not.
But you would have thought she was.
Patty Cakes, now streaming on all platforms. Enjoy.
98PXY is free and always will be.
Attention.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. We got to get into this really quick. This is very interesting. How many of you listening have ever heard of a dad or a parent saying no when you ask them for their daughter's hand in marriage.
Uh-oh.
Love to hear it if you have a great story, because I always thought of this as just a common courtesy out of respect. You ask the father or the mom, or maybe someone they're close to if the parents are no longer around, if you can have that person's hand in marriage. And I brought this up earlier this morning. A buddy of mine had a close friend who asked his girlfriend's father if he can have her hand in marriage. And he said no, for no other reason than he just didn't like the guy.
Yikes.
And that was all the info I got. And, you know, I've always thought about how I would go about doing this. If I had plans to propose to my girlfriend, I would definitely ask her father for her hand in marriage.
And if he says no, I'd do it anyways.
I'm going to do it anyways. I'm still going to marry her. Not going to be like, you said no. Guess we can't do it. But yes, of course, that's not going to happen. I'm just saying hypothetically. Any parent that's ever met me has loved me.
Plus, you don't have a girlfriend, so.
You know?
Right.
But these things do happen. I just want to know what the reason is. That's all.
Well, I feel like there has to be a good enough reason for them to say no, right?
Not necessarily. Not all the time. Let's go over some calls coming in right now. Hello, PXY, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Carrie.
What up, Carrie?
Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
What's the tea?
So I find this so interesting, what you're talking about today. It was my husband that actually gave his approval for my daughter's to marry her boyfriend.
Yep.
Asked for her hand in marriage, and I said, absolutely not, no way. But my husband actually consented. So there's a couple of reasons why I didn't feel like he would be the one for her. For one, he doesn't have the capability of providing for my daughter.
So you're basically, your husband gave consent to this. So your daughter's boyfriend asked him, he said yes, and then you said no.
I said absolutely not.
Why is that?
Well, he doesn't seem to have the capability to provide for my daughter. He makes less than $70,000 a year. And I can say that, you know, he's 33 years old, and at that age, my husband was making double. So,
Care Bear, it was a very different time, but all right.
I mean, that's still not bad. And considering he's only 33, do you feel like he hit his ceiling? I mean, don't you feel like maybe there's still room for him to grow?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Right.
And so the fact that he makes less than $70,000 a year is why you automatically said no to giving your consent and offering your daughter's hand in marriage to him.
Well, that's only one of the reasons. You know, he, in addition, he doesn't seem all that family oriented, if you ask me. So, look, it's not his fault. I don't blame him for it. Mm-hmm. But he does come from a divorced family, which I don't like that.
No problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can't really choose that either. So it sounds like you're being extremely unreasonable.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's his fault. However, if you have a parent that struggles, say, like with alcoholism,
okay,
for instance, the chances are you're going to struggle with alcohol as well. So I'm just going by that. And those type of things really, really makes me feel uneasy. So I feel like as a parent, I want to make sure that my daughter is marrying the right person for her. And it's a proven fact that we're part of our environment. So
yes, I would imagine we're a product of our environment. But at the same time, you still have the ability to change.
You're also like not giving this person a chance.
Well, how long, Carrie, have your daughter and this guy been dating?
Well, they've been dating for over a year now. And like I said, he's a nice guy. He's pretty cool. But he just doesn't fit in at all. Okay. Our family is loud and can be, you know, kind of obnoxious, you know, so to speak.
Sounds fun.
But he doesn't, you know, he's nice.
Well, let me ask you, what if this kid was making $250K a year? How would you feel then?
Well, you know, money talks.
Right. Yeah. Care Bear, listen, queen. I don't think that a lot of people are going to be on your side. Like, I understand not wanting kid to struggle. But at the same time, like, they're an adult. They're going to make their own decisions. You can't control or micromanage every path they choose in life, especially at an older age. So,
hey, listen, Carrie's
not
long.
Sure.
If he's treating your daughter good and she's happy, then I, honestly, that's all that should matter to you and your husband. Your husband said yes. So it's just because you said no. Are you trying to tell me that your daughter's going to respect your wishes and not marry this guy?
Well, she better. I shot it down pretty quickly, and she know I was very straightforward about how I felt about this, so she had better.
Listen, if your daughter does, if she does turn it down and she does listen to you, it's going to give me and probably everybody listening the ick that she's a 20, 30-year-old woman listening to everything her mommy says. It's weird, and it's inappropriate. Let's just shoot it straight.
Well, for one thing, she knows that I give her good advice on all levels, and I'm pretty sure she's going to take my advice. That's just that. You'll understand when you have kids.
No, the ultimate crutch. The ultimate crutch.
All right, well, listen, Carrie, thanks for calling in and weighing in on this topic this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Let us know if your daughter goes through with it. We'd love to get an invite to the wedding.
I certainly will.
Okay. Okay. Bye, Carrie. She's very enthused about that coming up, isn't she? Very enthused. We got a couple texts coming in. Let's get to those real quick. Hi, good morning, guys. I think it was honorable of this kid to ask, but I hope he knows it's more of asking for their blessing, not really their permission. Marry her anyways.
Marry her anyway. Marry that girl.
This woman thinks because she said no that her daughter is just not going to marry her boyfriend. It sounds like she married her husband for money, and now she's expecting her daughter to do the same.
Correct.
I guess him making less than 70K a year is definitely a deal breaker, but I don't think the kid's hit his ceiling, you know? He's 33. He has room for growth. I don't know what he does for a living.
Right. Absolutely.
And then Jerry says, hey, I find asking the dad to marry her daughter is super old school because I married my wife without asking for permission. But I think that also is because my wife doesn't really have a close relationship with her dad, so I never felt a need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people still traditionally do it out of respect, you know, especially if the father's still around, if not the less the mom. But I don't know. It's just something. I mean, both my brothers did it. My best friends did it. There was some awkward conversations, but, you know, it's just part of
that's the
tradition.
That's the pill you're going to have to swallow, kids. Sorry.
That's what you got to do.
Fuck up.
Now, if you propose to your girlfriend, which is definitely a possibility, are you having that conversation with her mom or dad?
Well, by that time, we'll already be engaged, so.
Well, I'm saying, though, if you're going to propose to your girlfriend, aren't you going to ask for their blessing?
Well, we'll already be engaged. Like, she's proposing to me first. So, no. I'm not going.
You have it planned out where she's already proposing to you first?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow because we're so out of time.
Thank you so much.